This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. We trust that the program will encourage you and will confirm your faith if you're saved and will bring you to saving faith in the Lord Jesus if you're not saved. So what we want you to know is that this program is all about knowing for sure that you're prepared for the day of your death. Now again, if you'd like to contact me, you can do so through regular mail or through my website, and this program can be re-listened to on the website. There's a weekly meditation there as well. I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, it is significant to me that the program purpose is to reach people and help them to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because just this week I had a neighbor pass into eternity. My wife and I had come back from being gone for several months. We had wintered near Atlanta, Georgia. And when we came back, I had talked to this man a couple of times on the phone while we were gone, but when we got back, we found out that he has had some chronic problems and he had gone in for help with some of them, and he was being transferred to hospice. And so Monday, yesterday of this week, I called his wife to see if I could go visit him and found out that I was too late. He had passed into eternity. Now, I spent some time talking with him some time back, and he had an understanding of the gospel. There's no doubt in my mind. But I think there's a difference between understanding the gospel and trusting in the Lord Jesus. I am no discerner of spirits, and I don't know whether people are saved or not. Only the Lord knows the hearts. But I just felt as though I had sort of missed the boat and not perhaps pursuing more conversations with this man while he was well. And in thinking that I would have another chance to perhaps pray with him and talk with him, I didn't get that chance. And so as I present these messages on this program, one thing I'm concerned about is that some of you listening to me today know all about the Lord Jesus. You know that when you go, you know what the ceremonies are, you know something about your Bible, but I really wonder if you have the confident assurance that when you die, you'll be in heaven. And the only way you'll get that is if you believe what God says. And so we have started on a series dealing with the miracles of the Lord Jesus, and our theme verse is going to be Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we're going to look at the second miracle that the Lord performed this morning. And as we look at it, we're going to be looking at it from John chapter 4, and we're going to contrast what is said when the miracle occurs with what took place in the previous part of the chapter. Because in the first part of John chapter 4, the Lord deals with the Samaritans. And if you go back and read that, there was a woman there who believed what the Lord said. She didn't need signs and miracles, even though the fact that the Lord knew all about her was sort of a sign to her that this was the Messiah. He apparently had known that she had had five husbands, and that the man with whom she was now living was not her husband. So he knew that, and you could call that a miracle, but he gave her confirmation of the fact that he was the Messiah. And she goes and tells the people in Samaria that she's talked to this man, and she says, "He's told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And then they listened to her, came and listened to him, and said, "Now we believe not because of what you've told us, but because of what he has told us." And their faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And friend, I just wish I could convince you, if you're not clear about your salvation, to sit down and read the Gospel of John. Perhaps read it in several versions. To read the book of Romans. Read it in several versions. Read any part of the Bible, but those are passages that seem to be written in such a way that those of us who don't know the Bible very well can take in the simple truths of the gospel. And if you would read those, your faith would come by hearing. And it would be through the word of God. You wouldn't be like Eve, who listened to the wrong voice. You listened to the whisper of Satan. You would be like those of us who are saved, who have listened to the right voice and have listened to the voice of the Lord as we hear it confirmed in the written record of the Bible. Now today I want to look at the second miracle that Jesus did, and it's the healing of a nobleman's son at Capernaum, and I want to read from John chapter 4 and verse 54. This was the second sign that he did. Now I'm kind of going by what the Bible says. I'm not sure if it's truly the second sign that he did or the second sign that he did in Galilee after he came out of Samaria. He had done one in Cana of Galilee before, and now this may be the second one in Galilee, but most scholars think this was the second public sign that he performed. So verse 43 of John chapter 4 says, "Now after the 2 days he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country." And in connection with that, you'll know that he stood up and he read in Nazareth when he started his public ministry, and in Luke chapter 4 when he begins to explain the passage he read, he criticizes the Jews, and particularly the leaders of the Jews. And in verse 28 of Luke chapter 4, it says, "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him over the cliff." But of course, he delivered himself out of their hands. But that's how he was received in his own country. But we're looking at a nobleman now who may not even be a Jew. He may be a Roman. We're not 100% sure of that. And we're seeing that he has confidence in the Lord. And so it isn't that Galilee wasn't where he was from. It's that those in his hometown, which I, as I understand it, was in Galilee, they did not give him honor. They just thought that he was the son of Joseph, the carpenter's son, and there was no honor there for him. But this man did believe that the Lord could help him. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and inquired and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said to him, "Unless you people," and he's talking here more generally than with regard to the nobleman, "unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." And again, we are reminded that the Jews seek after a sign, but the Romans or the Jews or the Greeks, the Gentiles really, they seek after wisdom. That is, the Jews needed to see a sign from God, and the Greeks needed to have things make logical sense. And this man wasn't asking for either. He just simply wanted to believe that the Lord had the power to help him, and he went to the Lord. And so the nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said to him, now notice the nobleman wanted him to come to his house. He seemed to think that the Lord needed to be in the presence of his child, perhaps lay his hand on the child, touch the child, perhaps anoint the child with oil, perhaps pray for the child. He thought that there had to be some connection there, and that's what he would have done if it were him. But Jesus said, "Go your way, your son lives." And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And you know, that's exactly the way I'm saved. I wasn't saved physically from an illness, but I was saved in the same way spiritually from the sickness of sin. I remember the day when I found out that I thought Christ had to do something to save me, and I found out that he had already done it, that it was finished at the cross. And I believed what God said when he said Christ died for the ungodly, and I'm still believing that, and it's been confirmed to me many times over. And it's through that word that I am confident that I'll be in heaven. You say, "But how can you believe that? That's only the word of God." And I look at it this way: how can I not believe it? It is the word of God. And so we don't always see signs until after we believe. And so in this particular case, he believed, but then we continue to read and we find out that as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." They were surprised. And he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." And I can just see this nobleman saying, "Now, that's exactly what I expected. I went and saw the Lord at the seventh hour, and it was at the seventh hour he said, 'Go thy way, thy son liveth,' and you can see the results right there. The Lord healed my son." Now, I believe that he had confidence in the Lord when he said, "Go thy way, thy son lives," but I think that confidence was confirmed when he went and saw, when the servants met him and told him that his son was now living and that he had been, the fever had left at the very hour that the Lord had said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And so this was the second sign Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. The first one was performed at a feast situation and provided joy for those that were there and the servants that took this water that was turned into wine to the governor of the feast. They must have had great joy in knowing that instead of being condemned for being negligent and having enough wine, they were being praised for having the best wine at the end. And now we see another miracle, but this one had to do with a disaster in the family. And there was no St. Jude's Hospital for this nobleman to take his son to, and there was no current medical miracles that could be done insofar as the scientific community was concerned. There was only one hope, and that hope was to find the Lord Jesus and ask him to heal his son. And for us who are sick with sin, our only hope is the Lord Jesus. Many people think their hope is in church, or their hope is in a man who preaches, or in a priest who seems to have some extraordinary power, and many people are still looking for the miracles. But friend, if you want to see a miracle, trust the Lord, and the miracles will follow. They may only seem like miracles to you, but you'll be able to see the hand of the Lord in your life confirming the truth that Christ died for your sins. And if you believe that, you'll be saved for time and for eternity. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson today and bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com. bdcministries, all one word, .com. And we do thank you for listening.